All right, you ready for the word? I'm going to recap a little bit of the ground that we've covered in this series so far, which is called Reclaiming the Margins. Reclaiming the Margins. We're talking about how we might go about finding that room and rhythm in life that the Lord desires for us so that we won't live lives that are beyond our limits. I heard this idea of margin be described as the difference between our load and our limit. The difference between our load and our limit. If you think about just your time, if you're committed to things that take, 25 hours in a day and you only have 24 hours in a day, you are living beyond your limit. Your load is greater than your limit. You have no margin. But if you are committed at a level that's less than the time that you have, then you have margin. There's a difference between your load and your limit. Obviously, we could talk about finances as well. If you earn $1,000 a week, but your financial commitments and your expenditure is $1,500 a week, then your financial load is greater than your financial limit, and therefore you have no margin. And so we're talking about how do we create the time, the space in our budget, the space in our head space and our heart space to be able to live within the limits that the Lord has given us. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a picture of a life that is in step and in surrender to the Holy Spirit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Everyone say goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I don't know if you've noticed, but over the past decade or so, we don't hear I'm good as often as we hear I'm tired or I'm busy or I'm stressed or I'm worried or I'm anxious. And perhaps as we go about, our time at school this week, our time at university, our time in the workplace, our time in the neighborhood, I guarantee you're going to hear when you ask your friends and those that you do life with, how are you? I guarantee you will hear I'm busy, I'm tired, or I'm stressed more than you will hear I'm good. Isn't it interesting how culture has changed over the past 10 or 15 years? It used to be that everybody was good. We were all good. We were all doing good. But we've replaced goodness with tiredness, busyness, stressed out, anxious, worried, in a rush. But I believe that God desires goodness for our lives. Goodness. We look at that list and we think, oh, that's the vanilla one. That's the kind of plain one, goodness. But what does the Bible mean when it talks about goodness? It means beauty. It means blessing. It means benefit. So when God says he is good and does good, this is what it's talking about. That he is the beautiful one that adds beauty to our lives and brings beauty into our lives. He brings blessing. He brings benefit into our lives. Remember Psalm 103? Praise the Lord and forget not all his benefits. God's good to us. He desires goodness for us. He wants us to have the good life, a life of beauty, blessing, and benefit. And so my belief is this, that as we make room and as we find rhythm in God, we're going to experience more of the goodness that he has for us. Room and rhythm, margin. Room and rhythm. Can you imagine what that might be like? Many of us feel like we live life on the red line, maxed out, maybe even beyond our limits, maybe over-committing and under-delivering in life. But I want you to just hold on to the hope that God wants to bring goodness, beauty, blessing, and benefit into your life, that God wants us to find room and rhythm in him. Again, have you ever noticed that Jesus was never so full or flustered that he couldn't respond well, that he couldn't keep the main things, that he still had time for his relationship with the Father, that he still had time to keep discipleship as the focus and doing life with those whom he was called to, that he was able to respond well, that he was never flustered or frustrated, that he never dismissed anybody that came to him in need. He always had margin in his life. He modeled to us this life of room and rhythm that we are talking about in this series. So we're going to continue to look at the principles that we find in God's word about reclaiming the margins. about making sure that we leave space, that we make room and walk in step and rhythm with the Holy Spirit. So I began signing up space cadets in week one. And some people told me, you know, a space cadet, that's what we call people that don't know how to do stuff good. And it's kind of the point. Like, it's kind of the point. We're putting our hands up, right? We're saying, hey, we actually need adjustment. We need training. We need to listen to God. We need to encourage and serve one another so that we can reclaim these margins. So I want to encourage you again at the end of this message, you know, even with the stigma that's attached to this, and I understand there is a stigma attached to this, but I'm the chief space cadet here at HVBC. You know, I've got my sticker proudly displayed on my laptop, and at the moment I've got plenty of leftovers, so I can just put them everywhere if I want to. But I'm going to encourage you to sign up and become a space cadet. We've started a little WhatsApp group. It's been encouraging to see the way that people have encouraged and shared their reflections on this series with one another. And that will continue to unfold as time goes on. We're going to get very, very practical today. But in part one, we learned that S is for seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God. If you haven't, if you missed that message, I encourage you to go back through our podcast and to catch up on that message, because it's really, really important that we start with that posture. That as we seek to live a life that where we're making room for God, where we're in rhythm with the Spirit of God for our lives, that we're reclaiming, it's really important that we start with this posture and attitude and priority that we are seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. And I said at the end of that message, if we can't start with that posture, then the rest of this series is going to come across as quite legalistic and rigid. And so if we've got that heart attitude and that posture of, no, my life, I'm committed to seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness, then the rest of what I'm about to share with you through this message is not going to come across as law or rigid or religious. It's going to come across as aligned with that desire. I want to seek first God's kingdom. I want to see God's kingdom come into pass in and through me. I want to see his righteousness taking place in my life. And we do this all because of the grace of God. Jesus said he came to give us life and life to the full. Life in abundance, right? Jesus is all about life. He's about bringing us goodness and life. And that's his grace towards us. But his kingdom and righteousness, these are the goalposts of our life. When Jesus said, seek first, he was saying, I want you to seek after, I want you to seek for, I want you to aim at God's kingdom and righteousness. That's what that word zeteo means, the goalposts of our life. And I wonder what your goalposts are right now. It might be a pay rise, a promotion, an upgraded postcode. Might be a romantic relationship or some sort of opportunity. It might be some sort of milestone or accomplishment. You know, so often we set those things as the goalposts of our lives, but God's goalposts for our lives are his kingdom and his righteousness. So I encourage you to go back over that message if you missed it and get it into your spirit. But before I tell you what P stands for, I know that for many of us, what we think the answer is to being busy or tired or stressed out or striving or anxious, we think the answer is kind of like this, more. We go to God and we say, Lord, I need more, or I want some more. God, my financial margin is gone. I need more money. God, my time margin is gone. Could you just give me some more time? God, would you just make me a bigger person? God, I need more. I need more opportunity. I need better. We're always after more or better. We think that's the answer to the problems and the challenges that we have. Let's go after more. Let's try to get something better. Let's go after that upgrade, because that is the solution to our problem. If I had more money, if I had more time, if I had more energy, if I had better friends, if I went to a better church. Well, that doesn't apply here, obviously, because this is pretty good. If I lived in a better neighborhood, if I had a better job, if I had more clients. Now, I'm not going to say that more or better might not be temporarily helpful in any given season or situation that we find ourselves in. Of course, maybe having some more money might help. Maybe having more energy might help. Maybe having a better job might help, of course. But here's what I've noticed. If I go from what I have now to more or better over here, guess what? I'm still there. I'm still there. I might live in one postcode, have a certain income, have a certain level of energy here, and I might say, God, could you give me more? Could you help me with more or better? And I might move over here. But guess what? I was over there and I'm still here. The same person with the same attitudes and the same habits and the same behaviors that lived over here, the only thing that's changed is he's over here now. We take who we are into every season and circumstance of our life. And so I'm going to propose to you that more and better isn't the answer. Having more, having better, it's not the answer. The answer is transformation. The answer is that we will cooperate with what God is doing in us and through us so that we might change and be transformed more and more into Christ's image and likeness so that we can be people of greater capacity, understanding the patterns and the principles that God has for us. Most people don't want what I'm about to say. Most people will only do this as an absolute last resort. When they're up the creek without a paddle, when it hits the fan, when there's absolute chaos or crisis, or there's no other options left at their disposal, we push down this path of having more or better until we reach our breaking point or go so far beyond the red line that we blow an engine. We don't do this very often. And knowing that your flesh, your human nature is no different to mine, knowing that this principle that I'm about to share is one that we will often only accept or embrace as a last resort, knowing that where we're at right now, many of us, the goalposts or the desire is more or better, I'm going to bring a challenge. I'm going to bring a principle that's going to cut against perhaps where we are at right now. And I'm going to let you know that P is for pruning. P is for pruning. As we look to reclaim the margin, make room and find rhythm in God, P is for pruning. John 15, verse 1 to 2, verses that many of us will be familiar with. Jesus says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He goes on in verse 5 and he says that he is the vine and we are the branches. We are the branches. Your life is a branch in Jesus' vine. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit that the Lord wants to see budding on the branches of our life. This is what a fruitful life, a fruitful branch looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, etc. And Jesus said, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes. He prunes. Pruning. It's a great thought, isn't it? And if we're going to reclaim the margins in our lives, finding room for God and rhythm in God, we must be continually involved in the pruning that God wants to do in our lives. So I did a little bit of research as to why we might prune plants. And I know that there are people here who are much smarter than me, but I just went to Google and it helped me with this. And so let me just share a few things here. Pruning plants removes stored energy and encourages new growth. Pruning is best done after flowering or fruiting to give buds new time to form before the next season. Have you ever noticed in God how seasons can change really quickly? How sometimes we go from being really, really fruitful, having amazing fruit, our lives are flourishing and flowering, and all of a sudden, it seems like God's done some major pruning in our lives. Well, maybe that's because that's the time that pruning needs to take place. Pruning vines is a key part of training them to succeed. You know, a lack of pruning, this is interesting, a lack of pruning increases the risk of plants to pests and disease. So pruning keeps us healthy. Pruning helps to protect our lives from pests and disease. Perhaps we could say sin, evil, temptation. Being continually pruned might safeguard us from some of those temptations of the world. Pruning plants often makes their appearance more attractive. I mean, isn't that good news? Just to think that if the Lord were to prune my life, that I might somehow become even more attractive as well. So I'm going to put to you this morning that there are significant benefits when it comes to God's pruning. If we're to be responsive and cooperative with that, we might grow in new ways. We might become increasingly fruitful. We might learn the ways of God and His kingdom. We might conform more to Christ. We might safeguard against evil and temptation. And yes, we might even become more beautiful and attractive as well. Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 7. Here's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 7. And have you forgotten the encouraging? Everyone say encouraging. These verses are so encouraging. You are just going to read them and be so encouraged by them. Don't you love how the writer of Hebrews, have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. Man, aren't these encouraging words? And as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. And everybody said, amen. How encouraging. What an encouraging few verses about discipline, correction, punishment, and endurance. How wonderfully encouraging those verses are. Don't forget how encouraging those words are. God's pruning, His discipline, His correction, and yes, even sometimes His punishment. It comes with the territory of being loved by God. Do you remember these famous words by author Max Lucado, who wrote, God loves you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you that way. Aren't they encouraging words as well? So today I want to give you something very practical that I hope are going to create a series of interactions with God's Word and God's Spirit to help us to cooperate with God's pruning in our lives right now. Here's the first thing. We've got to give God permission to prune. Give God permission to prune. We see in those verses in Hebrews that God's pruning comes in a few different varieties. There's encouragement, and then there's correction, and then there's discipline, and then there's punishment. Let's just go through those four again. I want you to think of them as a spectrum. There's encouragement, then there's correction, then there's discipline, and then there's punishment. If we look in those verses, we see there's four sort of pruning tools that God might use to prune and correct our lives and to cause us to become more like Christ. There's encouragement, there's correction, there's discipline, there's punishment. Now, here's my experience and my observation. The degree to which I give God permission to prune in my life often correlates to the pruning tool that He has to use. If I give God plenty of permission, guess what? Most of the time, all God has to do to bring pruning into my life is encouragement. I've got a surrendered heart, a yielded heart, a soft heart before Him. Most of the time, if I'm living in that place where I'm responsive to Him, all the Lord has to do is encourage me to make a change or to prune back. But if I'm a little more stubborn and stiff-necked, if perhaps my level of permission begins to decrease, then perhaps the Lord might go, well, you haven't really listened to my encouragement. I'm going to start to bring a little bit more correction into your life. I'm going to be a little bit more forceful about this. And perhaps I don't yet yield and I don't yet give the Lord permission in that area of my life. And eventually, God, as the patient and constant gardener that he is will move from that correction to discipline. And perhaps then he starts to up the ante even more and bring actual discipline into my life in order that I might listen and surrender and yield to him. But how many people know, and we've all got areas like this, that even discipline sometimes doesn't work, and the Lord, as a last resort, might have to resort to bringing some sort of punishment to us. I'm only preaching to you what the Bible says here in Hebrews. You know, God will often work according to the degree of permission that we give him. I love this verse in Psalm 139. Has anybody else shared that experience of that spectrum? That if we're yielded and surrendered, God often only has to be encouraging to get us to shift and to move. But the more we stiffen our neck and harden our heart, God moves through that spectrum, doesn't he? Here's Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. These two verses, that's what permission looks like. That's what giving God permission to prune and bring adjustment and change and transformation into our lives. Praying prayers like that is what permission looks like. Search me, O God, know my heart. Point out anything in me that brings offense to you. Know my anxious thoughts. I wonder, when was the last time we prayed a prayer like this, where we presented the Lord our heart in full submission and full surrender? Lord, point out anything in me. Lord, reveal to me where you're at work in my life. Show me, Lord, what needs to change. You know, I think the more we pray prayers like that and sit in a place of quietness and rest and trust, listening to his word and his spirit in a place of surrender, I think the more that we're going to experience the encouragement of God. We're going to experience God encouraging us to change, encouraging us in the ways of everlasting life, encouraging us in goodness, encouraging us in the patterns and principles and pathways that he has for us. But the less we pray prayers like this, and the more we just live our lives in autopilot or stubbornness or selfishness or just wanting to do things the way that we want to do them, then perhaps the Lord needs to get out a few more heavy duty tools to be able to bring correction. Because I spoke in the first week about our destiny. You know, our destiny, it's not the postcode you live in. It's not the size house you end up in. It's not the size of your superannuation when you retire. It's not your milestones or accomplishments or the trophies that you win along the way. That's not your destiny, friend. The destiny that God is patiently and constantly working towards is that you and I will become more like Jesus. That's our destiny. And God will patiently and constantly work towards fulfilling our destiny. Amen? So let's give him permission. Let's give him permission, as much permission as we possibly can, so that we can experience the encouragement rather than the stuff that's up this end, the punishment and the discipline. Let's avoid that as much as we can by giving God permission to prune in our lives. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Give God one of these. An access all areas pass to your life. An access all areas pass. You know, sometimes there's rooms or areas of our lives that we lock off to God, right? We're like, God, I'll let you in everywhere else, but I don't want you in there. God, I'll let you in here, but I won't let you in with my family life. God, I won't let you in to my thought world. God, I won't let you in to my money. God, I won't let you in to my romance and relationships. We lock off rooms of our lives, but eventually God's going to come knocking on those doors. And God's going to want to bring adjustment and transformation into us through those areas of our lives. And so I encourage you, give God an access all areas swipe pass. Let him into every room of your life. Let him into even the hardest ones. Let him into the ones that are the most shameful or scary. Let him into the ones that you've struggled with for the longest. Let him in everywhere. Give him access to all areas of your life, because the level of permission and access that we give him often correlates to the tool that he used to bring change and transformation into our lives. I wonder if there's been a room that's been off limits to God in your life. Is there something that you've locked off from him? This morning, maybe the Holy Spirit's bringing a reminder or an encouragement to say, hey, just open that door to me. Open that door to the Lord. Give God permission in that area of your life. Here's the second thing that we can do as we think about pruning, is we can participate in what God's up to. Participate. You know, I used to think that God wanted me to bring a lot of initiative to the table. But I've realized that God has plenty of initiative for himself. God takes the initiative. I used to think that whatever I initiate, I would then ask God to participate in. But you know what? It's the other way around. God initiates, we participate. And this ought to be very good news to us all, because it takes the striving, it takes the proving ourselves to God, it takes the religion and the stress out of our faith walk, and it basically says, God, I just need to know where you're taking initiative, and I'm simply going to participate in what you're up to. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. You know, the life of faith, faith in Jesus, Christianity, it's not replacing one wearisome task for another. It's replacing our weary, lifeless, fruitless, pointless endeavors and taking on an easy yoke and a light burden. It's not wearisome. It's not burdensome. It's not heavy. It's not ill-fitting. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. God is taking our lives in a direction. He doesn't need us to set the course. He doesn't need us to set the pace. He doesn't need us to set the tone. He takes the initiative and he says, hey, take my yoke upon you. Yoke in to what I'm doing. Tie in to what I'm doing. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I'm going to take you places. God initiates. We participate. Maybe you're thinking you've got to take all the initiative. Maybe you're thinking, man, I've got to drive this thing forward. I've got to bring the impetus and the initiative and the drive. Guess what? You don't. God's doing stuff. God is at work in you. God is at work through you. God is at work around you. It's simply our job to discern, God, what are you up to? And how are you calling me to participate in what you're doing? We don't have to run around like headless chicken thinking, oh man, I've got to change this. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I mean, I thank God that when I came to Christ as a 15-year-old, he didn't roll out this big long list of everything he was going to do over the next 27 years. Doc, we're going to work on this, then 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 we're going to work on this, and then we're going to come back to this other thing that you forgot, and then we're going to work on this, and then we're going to go back again and work on this. I'm so glad that God, in his perseverance and initiative and patience, just goes, hey, Doc, let's take one step. Let's take the next step. Then let's take the next step. God takes the initiative. It's only up to us to participate. We might think, man, we've got this big long list of things we've got to do, of things we've got to change, of things we've got to achieve and accomplish. And God just must smile and laugh and go, you know what? I've got my time. I've got my pace. I've got my initiative for your life. And I'm just going to wait patiently for you to be cooperative with me, to just simply participate in what he is up to. What starts with permission becomes a simple act of participation and cooperation with whatever Jesus is wanting to do in us and through us. Amen? We walk in step with the Spirit. Romans 8 teaches us that, as this, to walk in step with the Spirit. And here's the final thing that I want to share with you today, and that is to persevere in God's pruning process. We give Him permission, we participate in what He's up to, but we also persevere in God's pruning process. So back to those verses that we read in Hebrews 12, which says, don't give up when He corrects you. Endure this divine discipline. Church, I want to encourage us. Let's commit to the journey. Let's recognize that until we reach the other side of eternity, that it's about progress, not perfection. It's about becoming more like Jesus. We're not going to arrive all the way there until He comes back or takes us home to be with Him. It's about progress, not perfection. And some of us need to lay down that perfectionism, right? And I am first in line when it comes to perfectionism. We've got to lay that down because that's not what it's about. It's about simply persevering and remaining faithful, faithful to God's process and the journey that He has me on. Perfection will occur one day. Jesus will give us brand new bodies. He'll make all things new and we'll be made complete and perfect in Him. It's all good. It's going to happen. So for the perfectionists out there, just put your minds at ease. It will happen one day. We will get there one day. But that day's not right now. We're just called to be faithful. Faithfulness. Faithful. Full of faith. Continuing in faith. To be found faithful when He returns or calls us home. Amen? Perseverance. It's just the ongoing permission. The ongoing participation that I've spoken about here today. Proverbs 24, verse 16. The godly might trip seven times, but they will get up again. You might have tripped seven times. You might be more like me and trip 70,000 times, but we just get back up again. We might trip up, but we get back up. We might make a wrong turn, but we just give God permission again. We resurrender, represent our hearts to Him. We participate in what He's up to, and we come back to just persevering in the process that God has for us. It's actually a pretty simple message today, right? Give God permission, participate in what He's up to, and persevere in it. It's a very, very simple message. But what's the take home for you in all that? What's the one part of this message that God's reminding you of, or God's highlighting to you right now? It might be the permission factor. The Lord might be just knocking on the door of your heart right now and just asking for full permission in your life. It might be the participation factor where maybe you've just got caught up in the things that you're about that we've forgotten that God's taking an initiative here. And maybe we just need to recenter ourselves back on what God's up to right now. Our heart is willing, there's a permission there, but perhaps we've just lost sight of what God's doing in our lives right now. Or perhaps you're just running out of a bit of steam. You're sensing your perseverance factor running low, and perhaps today is just a reminder and an enthusiasm and an injection of perseverance and faithfulness into your soul this morning. You know, there might be times in our lives where God prunes away bad things, evil things, sinful things, things that are of no benefit, not beneficial to us. They're not good for us. There are times, and often when we think about pruning, we think about that stuff. We think about, this is the bad stuff. These are the unhealthy attitudes. These are the unhealthy habits. These are the unhealthy responses or reactions that I need to change, that God wants to change or transform. We often think about the bad stuff when it comes to pruning. But let me finish with this. It's not always the bad stuff God prunes. You remember, if we think back to why plants are pruned, they're pruned after flowering. They're pruned after the fruitful season, so that the fruit can grow back better, stronger. The branch can be stronger, hold more flowers, hold more fruit. Sometimes it's not bad stuff that God wants to prune away. Sometimes it's the stuff that was good for a season, but we've just got used to living in that season and those ways and with those good things, and we've held on to good things for long enough. And maybe God's saying, no, I want to do a new thing. I want to prune away something that's helped you to this point, but it's not going to help you any longer. And sometimes fresh revelation comes. Sometimes fresh dreams or fresh vision comes. And we actually need to die to the old visions, the old dreams, the old revelations, so that we can live in what God's doing now. Amen? It's not always the bad stuff. There might be things that have served you to this point in your life. There might be things that God has even done. And we're still basking in the glory of that and whatnot, but God's just patiently waiting, going, I actually want to prune that away, and I want to take you further. I want to take you deeper. I want to reveal a whole new thing to you. It's not always the bad stuff that gets pruned away. Sometimes it's the good stuff as well. Amen? So as I said, I'm going to get really, really practical. All my space cadets out there, in our WhatsApp group, there's a few messages that are going to go out this upcoming week. We're going to have a chat around that. I'm also going to send out a resource to you, probably closer towards the end of the week, if not early next week, just around this idea of pruning. And this is what the exercise is going to look like. We're going to start by praying Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 every day. So I want us to just get in the habit of praying those verses, and it may be helpful even to read all of Psalm 139, sit in that, and pray that through each day. And then we're going to have a bit of a time of reflection and meditation. Where do we sense God's Spirit drawing our attention towards? That might be through Scripture, that might be through messages, it might be through themes that are recurring in our lives or pictures that God's giving us or a prompting. But where is God drawing our attention towards in this area of change, transformation, or pruning? And then we're put into action. What is God giving me grace for to participate in? And how can I participate in what God's doing in and through me right now? So that's going to be our exercise over the next week or two. And we'll just layer and unfold that over time. But if you haven't signed up to be a space cadet, SMS your name to that number. I'll add you to the WhatsApp group. You will even get a sticker that you can proudly display on your car, laptop, fridge. Hamish actually said, anyone that doesn't want to personally use their Space Cadet sticker, he wants them on his ute. So even Hamish's ute is available there as well. But why don't we pray and commit ourselves to the Lord right now. Lord, we want to give you permission to be at work in our lives. Lord, we want to receive your encouragement and correction. Help us to participate and be cooperative back there. Rather than be stubborn and stiff-necked and for you to have to use other methods to bring the transformation that you want to bring into our lives. So Lord, right now we make the decision to represent and soften and surrender our hearts to you. Lord, I pray you'll speak to each and every one of us about the change and transformation that you want to bring. Lord, I know that there are areas of my life where I am stubborn and I am stiff-necked. And Lord, you've been so patient and good and kind. Lord, you always err on that side. And Father, I just pray that you will create in each of us clean hands, pure heart. God, that we might serve you, that we might be able to ascend your holy hill, that we might be able to experience even more of your power and presence. Lord, we love you. Lord, we want nothing to get in the way of our relationship and worship with you. Father, thank you that we are all here as your children. And Father, that you do love us. And because you love us, you bring correction, you bring discipline, you sometimes bring punishment into our lives so that we might experience more of the goodness and the life to the full that you desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.